Well, as a lot of you probably know, I play the flute. And when I was in junior high, I was the section leader for the flute section, which meant that I got to help lead little flute rehearsals if we needed them or work through difficult parts, that kind of thing. And there was a song we had been playing where one of the people next to me was playing it wrong. This one measure, every single time, she would play it wrong. So, you know, being nicely passive-aggressive junior high girl that I was, I would just play it louder so she could hear how it was supposed to be played. And then she would play it louder, and we just kind of went on like that for a while. Till finally, one day, I was like, you are playing this wrong. And we started discussing it very nicely, I'm sure. And my band director came over and, you know, kind of said, you need to listen to Heidi. She's the section leader. You know, she's the one who's leading the group. And, you know, as my band director was talking, I looked down at my music and I realized that I was the one that had been playing it wrong. I'm pretty sure I did not admit that either at the time. So hopefully I've learned my lesson there. But it really taught me something that when we can be so convinced that we know the right way about something, we can actually still be wrong. We can still be doing it wrong. We can still be seeing it wrong. We tend to think that the way we see things is the right way and the only way. And sometimes it's quite a shock when we find out that it's not. When I was fairly new to Grace, I got the chance to go down to Nicaragua to Meg's mission with the Circle of Empowerment with a group of physicians from our congregation and from the area to go down and give care to the people. And I was invited by John Canto, a Grace member who is an optometrist, and his assistant from his office was supposed to go, and she got diagnosed with breast cancer shortly before the trip. So he asked if I would fill in at the last minute, and of course I said yes. But I knew nothing about giving people glasses. He would do an eye exam on them, and he had a translator. I did not. And so then he would send them to me with a prescription, and I would have to try to match their prescription with the bag of glasses from the Lions Club. You know, so if you've ever given your glasses to the Lions Club, thank you. I saw them in action. But so I would try to match it, but I don't speak Spanish. So I learned a couple words, and the best way, though, I could tell if somebody's glasses really fit was the look on their face. If the glasses weren't a good match, they, you know, squint and shake their heads. But if it was a good match, their face would light up and you could just tell that they were seeing the world better and more clearly. It was a good feeling to know that we had helped them be able to see the world in a way they hadn't before. Sharper, clearer, brighter, more detailed. The people in today's gospel, these people were aided with their physical blindness, as was the man in today's gospel. And people assumed in Jesus' time that when you had blindness or another physical problem, or even if you were poor, it was because of your sin. People believed that if you had a challenge in your life, that it must have been something that you did that had caused that. Even something your parents did could have caused it. But we see in the story today that blindness wasn't just physical blindness, but also spiritual blindness. The Pharisees were spiritually blind because they couldn't understand or see Jesus for who he was. They didn't believe that somebody who was the Messiah, the Son of God, would heal somebody on the Sabbath day. That was a big no-no in their eyes. They thought that if this man was born blind, he must have been a sinner, or his parents must have been a sinner. But Jesus comes and proves them wrong. In fact, he actually says it outright that neither this man or his parents were sinners, or that his blindness was caused by their sin. But the Pharisees just could not accept that. As we heard in the story over and over again, people kept asking the man about what happened because all they could see was black and white, sin and righteousness. They were blind to the light that Jesus came to shine in the world. They were just looking for a way to deny his power, to say that he wasn't from God because he didn't follow the rules as they knew them and saw them. They couldn't accept that Jesus could heal this man that he was God's son and that his blindness was not caused by sin. Today, we still have a hard time believing those things. But if we take this lesson in today's gospel to heart, we can learn its truth. We can know that the trials we face in life aren't because of anything we have done, and that the good in our lives and the good that comes out of our trials isn't because of what we do, but because of the goodness of God, a God who loves us and wants the best for us and who died on the cross to give that to us and to prove that to us. When we experience blindness in our own lives, it's usually not a physical blindness, but a spiritual blindness. We get caught up in selfishness, in materialism, in judgment, in worry. When we see the world as God wants us to see it, those things stop clouding our vision. Our eyes are open to see our failures and our trials, not as a result of our sin or our mistakes, although we can make mistakes and make things hard for ourselves, but not every sin comes, or every trial comes from our own sin. But when we see things God's way, we see these things as a chance to lean more on God, our Creator and Redeemer. Our eyes can be opened when we look through God's eyes to see that our possessions and our money, whether it's few or many, are not what define us. Our eyes can go from looking at everything wrong in the world to seeing hope through Christ. So often we see what we're conditioned or trained to see. So as a pastor, I see God and theology in a lot of things. Well, a teacher might see opportunities to teach in a lot of situations. Or a scientist or a mathematician might see formulas or science where I would not. If you garden, I bet you probably notice other people's flowers and gardens a lot more than somebody who doesn't. Have you ever noticed that when you start looking for something in particular, it seems like then you notice it everywhere? We're also conditioned to see some things in our world through a skewed way because that is the way the world sees it, but that's not how God sees it. In the reading from Isaiah, God encourages us to not look at the old way or the past, but to look at the new way. It says, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." God is saying, if you're looking at things your way, you're going to miss seeing me, just like the Pharisees missed seeing Jesus for who he really was. Our God wants us to see things clearly, to see the new and amazing things that God is doing in the world. God can open our eyes. We can still see God doing miracles. God makes paths for us in places and in situations in our lives that we never thought we would face or we could even imagine going. But God goes with us and makes those paths clear for us. Take a moment of prayer now to ask God to open your eyes to wherever you are blind to seeing God working in the world, and also to thank God for all the goodness you've seen God do in your life. Amen.